Welcome to Brand Disciples. We're calling a generation of entrepreneurs to be on mission as we equip the church to disciple them. I'm Dave Mills, and I'm gifted to touch the world like Jesus by helping people connect to his mission and to take new steps toward him. I like to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace, and I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside the church empowered to be on mission every single day. And I'm gifted to be like Jesus as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey.
And we've got a great episode today. We're going to be talking about where and how the Bible codes for business are hidden in the New Testament and how we miss them. So far, we've talked about a number of things as we've been talking about these codes. We've talked about this desire on the part of many believing business people, entrepreneurs, microenterprise leaders, to have some kind of instructions or some kind of code of conduct. And we try and capture those maybe in our values of our business, but there's a lot of people looking for that. We've also talked about people that are actually not looking for instructions or a code of ethics. They're looking for some kind of God hack. They're looking for some kind of shortcut to success and fame and influence, and they would like for God to provide that. We also talked about how we need to be ready for the Bible and the God's Word to reframe the way we see our business. And so today we're going to start talking about these codes, and I think you're going to discover that there's a little bit of a reframe here. In the time of Jesus and the apostles, the modern business as a standalone entity simply didn't exist. We don't see really any corporate-style businesses during the Roman era till the very end of the Roman era, because business was always an extension of the family. And so Jesus and the apostles spoke to this reality by creating codes for Christian households to live out their faith in a super pluralistic, confused culture. And these are called the household codes. And these codes apply directly to business. These are the hidden business codes that have been hiding right under our noses.
It's a pretty big revelation.
It is, yeah. So these things are all through the New Testament. They're at Ephesians chapter 5. They're in Colossians. There's a whole bunch of underlying mentions in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and then 1 Peter 2 through chapter 3 has them as well. And so the household codes are the business codes.
I think that it makes a lot of sense that we have not been able to sort out how what the Bible says relates to our business because it's not explicit. And the biblical imagination of business is totally different, but no one ever talks about that. No one ever talks about the fact that we own a family business, which some people do, but it's not like I grew up from the time that I was 7 or 8 helping you run the family business. If you weren't on the field farming, you were doing the trade that your parents did. Mom was taking care of the household. And dad was doing trading. He was doing some kind of thing that brought value, that brought money in. And kids were helping with one of those two things. And then as you got older, you take on that trade and you do it too. And that was how business worked. It was all in the family. So I have heard many times this idea that household codes were tied to the culture of the day. You can pull wisdom out of them, but some of them you can even ignore, right? What would you say the average church teaching around household codes is?
I think a lot of churches teach that they're out of date. They don't apply anymore. So what's really happened is like we have this inoculation that's gone into our brains to say these households are kind of antiquated and they're old fashioned. But the real truth is that some of the most important keys for a business that's going to make a big impact are hidden in these household codes, because when they spoke into the household during this time, when Paul spoke into the household and Peter spoke into the household, they were speaking into the Christian business directly. And so the principles that are in that household code also apply directly to the business. It's where our codes are really for how we're supposed to live it out. And there's some importantly, super important things that are found there.
It's helpful for us to take a step back and really enter into this conversation as contextually as possible. Read these household codes. Like, after you listen to this, go read them out of Ephesians to yourself. truly contextualizing what that means. I've heard some really good stuff from people like David Lomas out of Reality Church. He talks about what it's like when Paul talks to slaves and women. And when these slaves and when these women entered into the church, when they became Jesus followers and they started hanging out with other Jesus followers, everything changed, but nothing changed, right? They were suddenly seen in the context of Jesus's teachings as equals and as equal partners and inheritance and as people who could be free. But when they went back to their master, they still had to follow the God of the master. They still had to follow the rules of the house. They still had to be a slave or operate like a woman who has less value. That's like the context of reading these, is what does it mean when everything changes, but nothing changes? How do you do that? And that can be applied straight
like
to business too.
Christian life. It's a lot like our Christian life. It's we come to Christ, we're a new creation, but we're still in the same body, in the same house, in the same town, in the same job. But that's why these are written. And we're going to unpack in future episodes these codes in detail and talk about what they actually mean to us. What's the contextual meaning that's there? And as you said, these codes do address different groups of people. And so we'll talk about four circles of people that our businesses interact with that are in these codes and the instructions that are here for us. But we have to get past this idea that somehow our business is completely separate from the rest of our life. And that's part of the problem we have here is that in our world, our culture, we've separated what it means to be a husband, father, friend, sister, brother, et cetera, from our business. And I think that's part of why, like during the pandemic, a lot of millennials, Gen Zers really started really thinking again about this, like this work-life balance. What does it look like? How do I have a life? How do I have one life and not have a weird life in the corporate space and a different life at home? How do I have one life? And so there's a hunger for this. And the Bible really is calling us back to that, calling us back to have a single life, a single expression. It erases the sacred secular divide. It erases the division. You are what you are in your home, and you're still that person when you go to work. In the biblical times, it wasn't just if you look at the history of the Bible, it's the same in the Jewish life as well. Business came out of the family. But in the Roman world, like businesses, this was part of the civic culture. Is that the strength of Rome is in the family. That's what they believed. And so these household codes were really significant in the lives of people during this time. And we're going to talk about what the strategy is. Why does God have us approach it this way? And rather than saying these are outdated codes, we're going to discover that these are actually very subversive codes. And they are actually culture changers. And the Christianity that was introduced by the apostles and started by Jesus, by 300 AD, it had taken over the Roman Empire in 300 years using this strategy. So there's a lot here. There's really great principles. These household codes actually existed all the way through antiquity. And they, we'll read some of the places where they're found. But the biblical version of them that we're going to be looking through in the next few weeks on the podcast is a really big reef. And you already mentioned one of them, and that was when wives and slaves came to know Christ, they became a part of the church. And that was never the case before. They always had to follow. They had to be part of whatever the religion of the master or the head of the household was. That was their religion. But in the church, there were all these people, men and women, slaves and free, Greek and Jewish. All these different people were there. And so that's a huge reframe from the very beginning. But it does show you when we say, like, here's the concept for today. The ethical guidance, the principle for having a redemptive business is found in the life of a biblical family. That's a huge reframe, right? And we live in such a culture that says business is separate. We do stuff in business and we say, well, it's just business. And we're actually hurting people or doing things that are actually evil. So it shows you how far in our culture, we have moved away from the biblical perspective about what business is actually about. So to summarize this, in the time of Jesus and the apostles, the modern business as a standalone entity simply didn't exist. Like the very first corporate style businesses occurred during the very end of the Roman era, Business was always an extension of the family. Jesus and the apostles were speaking to this in creating codes that they believed and had every intention of impacting not only the family, but the businesses that came out of those families. And these are instructions for living in this crazy, mixed up, pluralistic society that we're living in today. So why did we miss it? How do we miss this? We have all these ideas about what the Bible says about business. Some people say not much, right? Got lots of verses about money, but not much about business. How do we miss it? It's because we don't understand the way that in antiquity, the way the world worked. The family was actually the center of society. And that's not just true in the Jewish world, but also in the Roman world. So the culture then had these codes. They were started by Aristotle. They were also, you can find them in the writings of Cato, Philo, Josephus, Seneca, Xenophon. And they really span, like they're written and used between 400 BC and 100 AD. So this was really something that was baked into culture. The household's the center of the business world. This is how everything works. This is the anchor. And then all these philosophers and leaders spoke into the family structure with these household codes. And that was totally baked into the culture.
What's so interesting about this, during this period, family businesses were the norm. So widespread was that the way things worked that what we see as this separate entity didn't even exist until the Roman Empire was starting to fall apart. What's interesting about this is that it really addresses the tension I hold as a woman in the workplace. When World War II hit here in America, women had to get out of the home and fill jobs that men were doing. Same, I think, in World War I. But in World War II, it really shifted our culture a lot. And ever since then, women have been working to fight for equal pay and equal sort of standing in the workplace. As someone who's not a second wave feminist, I'm certainly a first wave feminist. Like, women's suffrage is great. We should get to vote. What happened in the 60s around feminism, I think, is nonsense. But I struggle, and I'm sure if you're listening to this and you're a mom and you're in the workplace, you're an entrepreneur, you struggle with, like, how is it that I am allowed to have purpose and vision in the workplace, but also still be fully present for my children? How do I hold my responsibility to be nurturing, my responsibility to take care of the home and all that stuff? Not that can't also be a man's responsibility, but there's this really weird tension that specifically moms who are also in the workplace feel about this. And this addresses why we feel that tension. Because the work, whether it was making food or doing a trade, was never actually supposed to be out of the home. Like, children, husbands, families were supposed to be fully incorporated into what they were doing. Their purpose was fully incorporated, fully integrated. They were whole people. And so I think men probably always felt this to an extent, this like really weird separate life, work life and home life. And then when that happened to women, now we have two parents out of the home and everyone's just discombobulated. So it addresses like why this is a tension, I think. Yeah.
And I think it actually started, I think, in the Industrial Revolution. Technology began to come in and replace human labor, but we needed people to act as part of the machine, right? So it's the beginning of the technology-human interaction. One of the impacts of that was a disruption in traditional home structures. And I think that's where this actually started. But we've glorified all that. Like, a big manufacturing facility is way better than a bunch of small homes doing the same thing, right? And oh, I guess in the name of efficiency, we can create X number of widgets this way. But there's always a trade-off when we bring technology, and there's always this trade that we're making. And part of the trade for us in the Western culture is that we have lost this ethic that the structure, the relationships, and that's what we're going to discover in the biblical, these hidden codes in the New Testament, is that it's about relationships. And there's very specific instruction we're going to go through in coming episodes about the way that business relationships are supposed to be structured in a biblical approach, right? And that's part of what has been lost because we have idolized, and we do it today. We idolize like the people that everyone follows are the Jeff Bezos of the world and the people that have the Elon Musks, the people that have big companies or multiple big companies with lots of employees. And so something got lost in the mix. And the scripture is really going to help us to recenter our business around kind of what we were designed for. And there's a part of kind of design of divine order or divine structure intention here that we have to recapture. And I do think the temptation would be like, let's just write off this biblical instruction. And we're going to talk about in the coming weeks some of the kind of offensive things that are in these sections regarding slaves and, you know, women. We're going to talk about that and what that was actually all about. But I think that plus the idea that the biblical ethic was written to a household industry base, I think we could just say, write that off. It doesn't apply. But the real truth is that these household codes that are found in the New Testament actually are super counterculture, even to what was happening in Aristotle's day. And I think you're going to find like they are counterculture to what we do in today in a lot of ways. And it's not like we're going to say, okay, everyone should go home. All women should be barefoot and have lots of babies. We're not saying that. And that's not what the Bible says, right? We're not saying that.
Yeah.
But we are saying that there is a relationship structure and there's a healthy redemptive relationship code that we've got to get a handle on if we're going to have actually redemptive businesses.
Yeah. And it's important to, as we talk about household codes, I think it's important to remember, just like anything else, like if you, we used to tell companies all the time, we don't have a brand. Well, actually, you do have a brand. You just may not be in control of it, but you have one, right? You may not have an intentional culture, but you have one. You may not intentionally be applying household codes, but you have them, right? And you are looking to people to set those for you. So at the time this was written, philosophers were really setting, and even soldiers were setting, how do we run our houses? Because they needed social order and harmony. Everything was based in the house, even business. So they needed some kind of norm, some kind of structure, and they needed people telling them. Society needed people telling them at the top somewhere, whether that was philosophically at the top or the top of the government, saying, this is how we run our house, this is how we run our country. And what Jesus did and what the apostles did, what Paul did in Ephesians, was say, no, this is actually what the kingdom of heaven looks like on earth. This is actually what household codes look like. And so to write them off is really just to decide that you're going to either have no control over what your business household codes are, or you're going to let those be set by, like you said, the Jeff Bezos of the world. I was just listening to an interview from a former CEO from Google, and I didn't listen to very much of it, mostly because he was just really annoying. But one of the things he was saying, coming from clearly an extremely apostolic voice, he was saying, the reason that Google is not doing as well as it used to is because they've lost their startup mentality and they started prioritizing work-life balance and home life for their employees above startup culture. And he's like, that was a mistake. So you know what his household codes are.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you an insane person that you think that's sustainable or good for people? He doesn't care because what he cares about is money. So anyway, like these household codes are going to be set by somebody. And so let's follow them, right? Let's choose some out of the Bible.
That's right. And so if you think about the pressures that investors or the stock market or the culture puts on us, the kind of culture it's going to inform or enforce is going to be this culture of grind and of burning your life at both ends. And I think in a really interesting way, the pandemic has really caused there to be this reset around like, oh, I do want to have a life. And so like in many ways, it's caused us to retreat back into our little castles. Like you could live your whole life. If you have an automatic garage door, like you could live your whole life in your castle. You could stream your TV, have your food delivered, drive out to go shopping, do your work in your office at home. And there's this reset going on. And there's definitely the big employers are having a tough time, actually. They're having to respond to this desire. But the truth is, this whole idea of creating a healthy home base, a place where relationships are healthy, is a biblical concept. And the structure that we'll be talking about has these circles of relationships in them that absolutely apply in our culture today. We're going to talk about those specific circles in the coming weeks. The big concept here that I think, Amy, you've already mentioned it, but there's really pretty good evidence that we, from a biblical perspective, we should be viewing our businesses as essentially an economic household. That's how we should view our business. It's an economic household. And so whatever the household code is, whatever the ethic that drives your business, your values, your culture, that is the economic household that you're running. And the more we've created a distance between the life that we're living at home and the life we live in the workplace, the more distance there is, the less integrity there is, the less health there is, the less, frankly, the less happy we are. And so I think it's a really fascinating transition in our culture. It surprises me that we're here because we've glorified kind of big business for so long. I grew up in a household where my father worked for the big IT corporations. He worked for IBM and some other big ones. And that was the thing, the big blue. And that was the culture that we were raised in. But that's all changed. And we've seen all kinds of things as a result. We've seen a lack of employee loyalty. We've seen a change in the work lifestyle. We've seen people don't have a career that lasts very long in one place. They keep changing. So a lot of change is underway. And there's hope here, though, that our businesses can actually become an anchor for what it is that God intended to be in the culture. And so there's this really important link between the home culture, the true you, the true family that you live in, your business, and the culture. These things are tied together in a really powerful way.
Yeah, in the end, this is a righteousness conversation. The whole Bible is really a story of losing right standing with God and people, losing the ability to have right standing, righteousness with God and people, and trying to get that back. God trying to be in right relationship with his people and with family. And what has to be grasped here that is so counterculture is that right relationships in the home are the basis for godly business. Right relationships in the home are the basis for godly business. And godly business that not only just is ethical and is nice to people and treats people well, but business that actually transforms culture, brings heaven on earth.
That's why we see, even in the instructions in the New Testament about who can be a deacon, it says the deacon must be a husband of one wife. So it even tells us that's a requirement for leadership. And so it does raise this, I think, this huge pain point. And so we will put in the show notes the different places where you can read the household codes. They're in multiple parts of the New Testament. You'll see that they're consistent throughout. We're going to talk in detail about them. Just be prepared that your 2024 sensibilities are going to be offended. And that's okay, because there's a lot to unpack here and there's a lot of surprises here. And I'll just tell you in advance, like, these codes were transformative in the culture when they were introduced. And they're still transformative today if we understand them. But I do think it raises this huge pain point. And so we're saying that redemptive, impactful, being a kingdom outpost kind of business comes from the relationships in our home. That can create a big pain point for people if they don't have a kind of home that they're very excited about, right? If they, maybe they're living alone, maybe they're not married, maybe they came from maybe they have a disruption in their family life, maybe they've been divorced, maybe there's a blended marriage, maybe you came from like a family of origin that was really not great. So when we say this thing, like, redemptive business is based in the home, you went to business to escape your home, right? So, for the guy who gets up in the morning and jumps in the car so he can get out of the house, this is going to be a hard pill to swallow, right? So I think that we have to understand that there is a redemptive path for you, regardless what your home situation is right now. And there's things to be learned. But we're also saying that your whole life matters. Your life in your home, your life in your family relationships, your life in your church environment. That all matters, and that all creates the basis for a business that's going to be redemptive. And without that anchor in your personal life, it's really hard to be the kind of leader that God wants you to be. And so while you're working on your business culture, you're probably also going to work on some other parts of your life, right? Because righteousness in relationships goes across everything. It doesn't just start in business.
Jay Pathak, who's the president of the Vineyard Movement, he has this thing where he tells pastors that if they don't get up in the morning every day and get the question of their identity and their value and their worth answered by the only one who can answer it, that's God. Right. If you don't do that every morning, you're going to spend the rest of the day trying to get that question answered from other people and from other places. And then he says, let's not get our needs met in ministry. I think the same thing can be true. That's job one, right? Relationship with God is job one. If you are not intentionally digging into that relationship, and I think every morning is a great time to do it, based on I think what he said is really true, right? That's job one. Job two is right relationship with your home. Because the same thing happens. Once we get our answer from God about our value, if we then walk around the house, let's say you're a man, right? And you are constantly being emasculated all by everyone in your home. You have no authority. You have no power. You are passive. You feel totally free of value, right? Obviously, you're going to go to work and search for purpose and value there. You're going to try to prove to yourself and to other people that you have value and worth and authority in that place because you don't have it at home. And I might be like pressing on a wound right now, and I recognize that, so I don't do that lightly because I know that hurts. But I think that's like that's got to be top three right now in our culture of things that men feel at home. And maybe that's true of you as a woman, and probably it's something else, but I won't go down the path of what we're all feeling, all the things. But my point is, this is extremely impactful. Because how can we have right relationship and be the hands and feet of Jesus and do ministry and all the things we're supposed to be doing if we don't have right relationship first with God and then right relationship with the people in our home? The effects are very instant and daily.
It also speaks to why there's always been this big push for businesses to have like their own written values and to create a value statement. A lot of that's because people are not bringing values with them. I don't think you would have needed that 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when people had a more structured, organized family life, a more sense of who they were, honesty, fair treatment. That would be normal. But I do think because we've broken these things apart, we've fragmented our life. It leaves room in the business space for all kinds of really goofy and horrible things to go on. Then, because they're not anchored against real life. They're only whatever makes economic sense or makes sense in the moment or makes sense for the power climb I'm trying to pull off at work, right? And so we have this. We see this in all parts of our society. And so when the Bible speaks to this, it's really saying, as Amy said very well, this is about right relationship. So we're going to talk about four circles of right relationship and what those look like from these Bible codes in the New Testament. And we'd encourage you to read them. Prepare to be just at least a little bit offended. That's good for you to be a little offended now and then. And we're going to unpack what's in here and why it matters to you. That's been a great conversation today, Amy. I think it's a big challenge. It's a big reframe. We warned them though, right? We said, if you're going to keep on this journey with us, be ready for some reframes. The first one is about that right relationships and redemptive businesses are based in what's going on in the rest of your life, in your home. So it's a good start to unpacking these.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. We'll see you next week where we keep pressing on wounds. Just kidding. We'll try not to.
Maybe we'll have some fun too.
Yeah. Maybe a little.
Okay.
See you guys.
Bye.